I have been so much looking forward to this morning to having Laura here with us, because I've heard lots and lots about her, but not had a chance to meet and to talk. So, Laura, come up and join me and tell us what you've been up to. I've also been very excited. We'll stay down here, I think. Have one of those. It's been wonderful seeing the pictures of your building going up. That's a good idea. Seeing the pictures of that wonderful building going up as well that we've been able to follow. So, really
I'm exciting. Yeah, it is exciting.
Yeah.
I mean, I was thrown into having to build a church. I don't know how to build a church. I mean, if you are available, God will use you.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And He takes you whoever you are, wherever you are. So don't be hesitant in helping out with Kids Club, because it will be fantastic. I've been here before when you've had it. Mm. It's been great.
So tell us a bit about what's going on and what God is doing for you and in the church in Thailand at the moment. What's happening?
Some people don't even know who I am. So I'd like to say my name's Laura Weeds. I have a bit of a twang because I am an American born. Married an Englishman. He passed away. Got called to Moreland's Bible College, then ended up on the mission field in Thailand for 24 years. That's it in a nutshell.
Right.
My ascending mission is WEC at Bulstrode, which I'm moving soon, World Evangelization for Christ. Mm. That's it. So where are we at now with the church? The walls are up. The building's almost finished. 95% of the building. Oi, there's one of them. Maybe they'll like my back too. Anyway, yes, please. Can we have the first picture? Thailand, a bit about... we lost one. Anyway, Thailand can be a bit hot and dusty, dry and arid. And it can be fresh and beautiful. Thank you very much. Dry and arid. We haven't had rain. The dam is now almost empty. We're running out of water. Water is priceless. In your bathrooms, you will have a big bucket of water to save water. And it can be fresh. When the rains come, and these are four or five beautiful Christians. I can say it's dry and arid because WEC goes to the unreached. And Thailand is very predominantly unreached in the villages. Next, please. But this is what we do. We reach out. We go from door to door. 99% of our population of the church became Christians through visiting door to door. Thank you. And last Christmas, we only had 58 come through to the Lord. Out of 300. Thank you very much. And this is our latest recruit. His name is Pooh. So please pray for Pooh. Thank you. And all started to build a church from visions. First vision was a pile of shoes. The second vision, where many people came and said, God said they're coming. They saw a huge cream building, white building, with a packed house. And I'd say the building is this size. The worship area is this size. Mm. And this is the builder, the man with the straw hat. A Christian, a Bible college graduate, a pastor, but yet he's a head builder. And he brought his non-Christian team. And the lady who's been helping with the great big smile is Nin. She is a Bible college. She's in Bible college right now getting her master's. But she was our helper. These are the believers. We work as a team, as you see. Everyone pulls their weight. And this is the finished product, please. This is what you've been praying for. And through your prayers and your gifts, this is what's developed. Yes, the worship room is this size. It's an all-purpose building. It's now tiled inside. We now have a gate in the front. Walls for protection, because the one situation, I was driving down the road And all of a sudden, I saw this small snake with his head as big as my foot. And the body followed. So that's why we needed a wall of protection. And that's it in a nutshell.
What can we pray for you now? What's the most important things for us to be praying for?
That we would have a pastor. It's right. Wonderful for you to be here. That we would have a person called by God who loves the Lord, who speaks Thai, and who is Thai, because they can go through and they understand the Thai culture. There's a lot to learn. Do not lift your hands above your head. Keep your feet under your seat. All these cultural little quirks you have to learn. That's it in a nutshell. Pray for a pastor and for unity of the believers.
For the unity of the believers. Let's pray for that now, shall we?
Thank you.
Father God, thank you for the amazing pictures, for the story of what you have caused to happen, that from those visions of a pile of shoes and a house full, you have accomplished something amazing. Thank you for the commitment and the dedication of the believers there. Thank you for the way that your Spirit has brought such a response too. But Lord, we want to pray for even more. We pray that you would provide that pastor that's needed and that the appropriate person who speaks Thai, who is Thai, would come along and would be a person anointed by and appointed by you. So Lord, accomplish that, we ask. And we pray that you'd keep the folk there safe, that the wall would be, that's a physical thing, but that you would surround them with a wall of your love and your protection. And we ask, Lord, that you would not cease bringing growth, that you'd accomplish great things. Pray for strength for Laura too, and that as she talks about what's happened, as she returns there and continues to work, Lord, may she know your blessing powerfully on her today and in the days to come. Hear us, Lord, because we come together and we agree in the name of Jesus that this is what we long for. Hear us in his name. Amen.
Can I borrow one more minute?
Please do.
Just one more minute. Just want to say, why build a church? Because that means God is there forever. He is there, and he's going to build his church. Right now, we have 10 members. So these two rows, that's the church. But God has given us 6 or 7 visions. People are coming.
Yeah.
They're going to come. And the builder said, build it big.
Yeah.
So he expanded an extra meter width-wise and length-wise. In faith, step out in faith, and he will do it. God bless you all. Thank you.
Let's listen to the word of God together. Our reading this morning is from Romans 5. I think Josh is reading to us.
So it's Romans 5, verses 12 to 21. Page 796, if you have a blue Bible. Death through Adam, life through Christ. Therefore, just as sin entered the world through one man, and death through sin, and in this way, death came to all men, because all sinned. For before the law was given, sin was in the world. But sin is not taken into account when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from the time of Adam to the time of Moses, even over those who did not sin by breaking a command, as did Adam, who was a pattern of the one to come. But the gift is not like the trespass. For if the many died by the trespass of one man, how much more did God's grace and the gift that came by the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, overflow to the many? Again, the gift of God is not like the result of the one man's sin. The judgment followed one sin and brought condemnation, but the gift followed many trespasses and brought justification. For if, by the trespass of the one man, death reigned through that one man, how much more will those who receive God's abundant provision of grace and of the gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ? Consequently, just as the result of one trespass was condemnation for all men, so also the result of one act of righteousness was justification that brings life for all men. For just as through the disobedience of the one man, the many were made sinners, so also through the obedience of the one man, the many will be made righteous. The law was added so that the trespass might increase, but where sin increased, grace increased all the more, so that, just as sin reigned in death, so also grace might reign through righteousness to bring eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Good morning. I am on, aren't I?
Yes,
great. So I recently arrived back from a fortnight's holiday in Wales. That's probably why you haven't seen me around for a bit. It was a bit of a student budget holiday. I went back to stay with my parents. I don't know about your families, but has anyone ever told you that you look like someone similar in your family? Yeah, one or two people. Oh, you look like such and such. Well, when you said that, actually, I thought of Auntie Merkel. Well, here's my dad. So you can probably work out why now I shave. I am literally a mustache away. So I was working once, and this girl who I'd never even met before came up to me. I was like, yep, you're John's son, aren't you? I was even mistaken for him once. I went to an elderly relative's house for a visit, and I knocked on the door, and she just opened the door and said, John, come in, come in, it's great to see you. Never mind the 40-year age gap. I think either he's doing really well or I'm doing very badly there, but thank you. It's not just physical features, though. We share the same surname, Benbow. When I was in college, I ran into another girl who had learning difficulties, who worked with my daddy, was an educational psychologist before he retired. And as soon as this girl found out who my father was, she just instantly liked me. Oh, great man, your dad, great man. He didn't give up on me when everybody else did. Great man, great man. Family association is powerful. Individualism is quite prominent in the West, but in the ancient world, they recognized that family association had a great impact. Your physical features, your values, your characteristics, these were all largely shaped in effect by the family. And this was how others viewed you. This is why there's a long list of names in the Bible. This was your ancestry. It formed part of your identity and what your standing in that society looked like. Now, my association with my dad is a very good one, but in Romans 5, 12 to 14, we read of a very bad association. Let's just read it now. Therefore, just as sin came into the world through one man, and death through sin, and so death spread to all men because all sinned. For sin indeed was in the world before the law was given. But sin, not counted, where there is no law. Yet death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over those whose sinning was not like the transgressions of Adam, who was a type of the one who was to come. So Adam is the head of all humanity. And just as a leader of a country makes decisions which affect everybody, Adam's rebellion against God had serious implications for the rest of us. He is our head. He is our first father. And as a result, our identity, our destiny is wrapped up in his. Our destiny follows Adam's. What is his destiny? Well, it's death. Death came through one man and spread to everybody. We all die because of Adam's original sin in the Garden of Eden. He is our ambassador and he declared rebellion. Well, you might be thinking, no, hang on. I'm not Adam. I didn't take the fruit. I didn't sin in the garden. Why should I be punished for his sin? Well, let's look at verse 12 again. Therefore, just as sin came into the world through one man, and death through sin, and so death spread to all men, because all have sinned. Yes, this sin isn't personally ours, but you bet we've taken it and we've owned it. When Bob said he'd like to see me try and do a sermon titled "What's Wrong With Me?", I thought, blimey, that's a bit of a push. Even for a Baptist sermon, there's a lot to get in there. Rico Tice from Christianity Explored uses this great illustration. He says, if I was to put on a film of your life on the screen, and every single thought, every single word, every single action that you've ever done in your life was put up there for everyone else to see, would you still want to be in the room? I know I wouldn't want to be. Romans 3:23 puts it like this, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Now, God is holy, and so he cannot tolerate sin. He will judge sin because in his character, he is a good and righteous God. When we remain in the image of Adam and sin as Adam did, we rightly deserve the punishment for that sin. But we have a tendency to view sin as not that big of a deal. We trivialize it. We say, oh, that's my guilty pleasure, my secret little sin. We view it as sort of a piece of chocolate cake, a guilty little pleasure. But the biblical view of sin looks a lot different to that. The biblical view of sin looks a lot less like chocolate cake and a lot more like raw sewage. And it stinks. And it gets everywhere. And it drives people away from us. And it makes us sick. And eventually, it kills us. And the worst part is it's not even something out there. It's not even something necessarily which we do, although that's a part of it. Jesus said in Matthew 15, for what comes out of the mouth proceeds from the heart, and this defiles a person. For out of the heart come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false witness, slander. These are what defile a person. It is inside us. It is inside our being. It is a part of our very nature. And it pours out of us like this bile into every area of our lives, into our relationships, into our work, into everything. God recently showed me sin in my life, and I could see it and say, yes, actually, I see how that's hurting me, and I see how that's hurting other people, but worst of all, I see how that's hurting my relationship to God. If you remember a while back, Josh and the rest of the youth did a special youth service, and they did a fantastic job. And in this youth service, they showed this video of a laptop with the charger taken out. And as the video progressed, you just saw the battery going down, 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 down. And then laptop dies. And that is what sin does to us. It cuts us off from the source of all life. It separates us from God himself. And separation from God leads to death. It leads to a physical death. It leads to a spiritual death. And eventually it leads to eternal death and eternity separated from God. This is the situation that humanity finds ourselves in. We inherited this fate and we've made it our own. Thankfully, though, God cares too much about us to leave us there. Romans 5:15, but the free gift is not like the trespass, for if many died through one man's trespass, much more have the grace of God and the free gift by the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, abounded for many. And the free gift is not like the result of that one man's sin, for the judgment following one trespass brought condemnation. But the free gift following many trespasses brought justification. For if because one man's trespass, death reigned through that one man, much more will those who receive the abundance of grace and the free gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ. What is the free gift that this passage is talking about? It's this, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. The free gift is Jesus Christ himself. When we accept Jesus as Lord, we leave the family of Adam, where Adam is head, and become children in the family of God, where Christ is head. And while Adam damned his family by an act of rebellion, Christ saves his family through an act of obedience. That act was his death on the cross. This passage in Romans 5 makes this huge comparison: Adam's self-seeking, Jesus' sacrifices; Adam's rebellion, Jesus' redemption; Adam's death, Jesus' life. For me, this comparison really jumped out in John 7:38. In John 7:38, Jesus says, "Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." That looks a lot different from sewage. But how does this transformation happen? Oh, in Colossians 2:13, it says, "For you who were dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made alive together with him, having forgiven us all our trespasses by cancelling the record of debt that stood against us with its legal demands." That's the debt of our sin and Adam's sin, by the way. "This he set aside, nailing it to the cross. He disarmed the rulers and authorities and put them to open shame by triumphing over them in him." Jesus on the cross paid for all our sins, all of Adam's sins, past, present, and future. When we accept Jesus, we are restored fully into the image of God, and we bear all the family resemblance of Christ. If you're in Christ and you ask God about your sin, God is going to say, "What sin?" Because now he sees you and he sees Christ. He doesn't see Adam anymore. We are part of a different family now. And just as that girl welcomed me on behalf of my dad, now the Father welcomes us on behalf of his Son, Jesus Christ. That word in Romans 5:16, justification. Just as if I never sinned. Romans 5:18 then, to finish. "Therefore, as one trespass led to condemnation for all men, so one act of righteousness leads to justification and life for all men. For as the one man's disobedience, the many were made sinners, so by the one man's obedience, the many will be made righteous. Now the law came in to increase the trespass, but where sin increased, grace abounded all the more, so that as sin reigned in death, grace also might reign through righteousness, leading to the eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." Your family determines where you stand. As a member of Adam's lost kind, or as a beloved child of God? Now, perhaps you're thinking this morning, "I want to take that step. I want to leave behind the sewage and just receive that living water that Jesus promised." Perhaps you've already accepted that gift and been welcomed into God's family, but over time you just feel like things have gotten in the way of that relationship. I'm going to pray in a minute and just give you the opportunity to take that step in your heart if you would like to, or perhaps just a journey back to that time when you first stepped from death to life and accepted Jesus. So in the quiet of our hearts, let's return to the Father. Let's pray. Lord, thank you. Thank you that while we were in more of a mess than we could ever realize, we are more loved than we could ever hope for. We just ask today that we can come to you freshly to receive that living water. We believe Jesus is Lord. We believe he rose from the dead. And now we turn our backs on that sin that so hurts you and so hurts us. And we commit ourselves to you today. Amen. Amen.